It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. And joining us in the studio today is a good old brother of the Racing Boys. Scotty Cook is hanging out with us today. Scotty, how you doing, bud?
Good morning, my friend. Yeah. Very good to see you. I'm doing very well.
Did you know that you're the first in-studio guest that we've had? So how fitting it is to have you in the studio as the first guest after all the years of running up and down the road that we've done. And we might share a couple of those stories today.
Shoo, it's only an hour show, right?
Right. Yeah. There's no way that we're going to be able to get everything in 1 hour, but I might want to get into the Brody.
Oh, my goodness.
That is one of the funny... It could be the funniest story of all of our travels, you think?
I would say yes, and there were a lot of them, but ironically, it was... It was the last escapade, probably
in the Northwest.
One of our last escapades from many stories, many years down the road, on the road. Boy, it was memorable, though. Yeah. The only time you ever made me mad.
Who, me? I didn't make you mad.
No, Brody pissed
Brody
me off.
Brody made you mad. Yeah, you were a little ticked off that
day. We'll get into that.
We'll get into that a little
bit
later. Hey. Last night, you made it just in time. We watched a little racing down here. Unfortunately, our TV's not working today.
You know, I was standing
out. So we might just have to go buy another big TV today.
I was standing outside having some coffee while you were thrashing to try to get that thing going. And I thought to myself, you know, I'm into the ESP and the paranormal stuff. And I'm thinking,
right.
I wonder if that thing shut down because I'm here.
No, it has nothing to do
that
with
that thing's
you.
Seen many a chili bowl.
That baby's been around a while.
And it's been around, so it lived a good life.
Maybe we might buy an 85-incher today.
Just do it, man.
Huh?
Hey, before we get going, I want to send special thanks to our old buddy, Mr. Kirk Elliott, for offering up his seat today.
This is normally Kirk Elliott Day.
I'm very grateful and a pleasure to be here with you and real good to see Kirk. Don't get to see Kirk all the time. Good to see Austin. And yeah, you got quite the setup down here, man.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Is
I like it.
Yeah, not too bad at all. Last night, Scotty, we watched Buddy Kofoid pick up his first World of Outlaw victory. What'd you think about that last night? That was pretty cool, wasn't it?
Well, I think it was in the making. I think that it was due to happen any time. There's no doubt that the young man from Pengrove, California has the talent. And I think that it's the first of many more to come.
Right.
How many, who knows, because we don't know which direction he'll be going because running, not exclusively, but mostly... almost primarily the midget and racing full-blown sprint cars when he has a chance. But
right.
I was full-blown confident that once he had the opportunity, which last night the opportunity arose and he seized it. And,
yep.
He earned it last night, if you recall.
No doubt.
McFadden got around him and he got up on the wheel and got back by him. He mentioned in the Victory Lane interview that he was able to find the rubber and away he went. And you know, it reminds me of, you know, when that Victory Lane interview began, I had flashbacks of when we first met him at the Kokopah Speedway when
right.
I think he was barely 13 to 14 years old.
He was just a youngin'. Right.
And they told us then, remember this boy. And he's written a short, albeit long legacy since then. And I would not be too terribly surprised to see that boy race on Sundays in the near future.
Right.
Because he's got the talent.
Austin, what'd you think? You had a chance to watch that race last night. You know, to me, Austin, it's like, how did it take this long for him to win a World of Outlaw race, right?
Well, it was only his 20th start with the Outlaws. So... you know, that's so, not we think it's a long time because he runs, you know, hit or miss shows over, let's say, 3 or 4 years. And,
right.
you know, you think, oh, he hasn't won in 4 years or whatever. But
is it because we think he's so talented that we automatically assume that he's going to win a race quickly?
I think so. I just, because we kind of hold him to that higher standard with the midget. Because you watch him grace a midget or anything else, and he's, you know, picks up, you know, a dozen wins a year. So, you know, I think that's, we kind of held him to that standard. But, you know, like I said, he's only ran 20 outlaw shows, and he's already, I think he won maybe an all-star race too. So, you know, it's just about the time that it was just kind of like when the cards were falling into place for when it would happen, right? And I think it's just, you know, he showed speed last night, and then it showed speed, you know, the night before that. It just, it was going to happen at some point this week.
You know, to me, and I've said this more than once on the show, that the person that has impressed me more this year than maybe anybody else is Parker Price Miller. You think about how good he has been. He was taking those chemo treatments, and he was, I think he was the only driver to finish in the top 10 in the first 10 races with the All-Stars, right? Isn't that something?
Yeah, I believe so.
Something like that, right? And he is just always up on the wheel, driving that car hard, no matter how bad he feels. I think Parker Price Miller, who finished third last night, he's, if there's a comeback driver of the year, there's nobody that deserves it more than Parker Price Miller. Would anybody disagree with me on that?
No, I would agree with you. I think also too, when he went through his treatment, it kind of put things into perspective for him.
Yeah.
It kind of showed how valuable, you know, his life was and his career was, and I think it kind of put some light in his eyes on how things, you know, how quickly things can be taken away from him, and it just makes him want it, you know, even more. And I think that's kind of what's shown so far.
You know, I think that regardless of what happens from here forward for the rest of the season, that it is indeed the story of sprint car racing in 2022. Right. And I mentioned to you last night that I had a real long visit with him while I was down in Florida. And to Austin's words, you know, it wasn't but too many years ago that he had a little chip on his shoulder, and it was pretty easy for him to rub quite a few people wrong. And when I visited with him down there, something just came upon me that, man, this kid really has grown up.
I think he was humbled a little bit with this cancer, don't
and
you think?
To your words and to Austin's words, I think there's something about the whole situation that he's going through that he's taken a completely different approach, let alone behind the wheel of a sprint car, but a different approach to life in general, and being humble and being grateful for everything in this world that's been offered to him. And I think at this time, he's just throwing caution to the wind and setting sail and making the most of everything that he's had offered to him. And it's been fun to watch, and he's a really, really good young man. And I'm like everybody else. I'm just pulling for him.
How old is he, Austin? Do you know?
Parker?
Yeah.
I don't even know if he's 21 yet. 22.
I think he's older than that.
I'm not sure.
24.
24.
Oh, yeah. Well, time gets away.
Yeah.
Goodness. Yeah, I was just, case in point, it feels like yesterday we saw a 13-year-old Buddy Coatfoot in Kokopah, you know?
Well, it seems just like yesterday that there was a 16-year-old Kyle Larson racing at Cottage Grove.
Yeah, well, or rewind that 1 year, the Short Track Nationals, the late, great Jesse Hockett bringing a 15-year-old Kyle Larson to drive his backup car at the Short Track Nationals, and Jesse told us.
But keep an eye on that guy.
This boy will be racing on Sundays, mark my words.
Right. And Tony Bruce did it the next year. Remember, Tony Bruce put him in his car the following year.
Yes, he did.
If you remember that,
yes,
right?
Yes, he did.
Well, it's amazing to watch some of these young kids coming up through the ranks. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about what happened last night at Skagit. Austin Wheatley. Oh, my gosh. That was a brutal impact. Now, I don't know who would agree with me, but I cringed the most when I saw him hit the wall head on at that dreaded 45-degree angle. You could just see the car just take the impact, and that bothered me. I think you were more upset with the car that hit him when he was flipping, right?
Absolutely. I mean, night in, night out, we'll see a car go in at a 45 and you know, kind of like the Dale Earnhardt thing, you know. But most of the time you see that guys are okay. You see them hit head on, that's when it becomes very frightening. But to your words, when he ricocheted off the wall and got airborne.
Can we watch that one more time, Austin?
And then the impact occurred. That's when it was very, very frightening because I don't recall who hit him. There you see, and then
the 18 car
hit Tanner Holmes.
But fortunately, you see that he got hit from the underside and toward the front of the race car. But regardless, when Tanner Holmes got into him, it was just a very, very heavy impact. And I asked you guys a little bit earlier if you had any update on him, and Kirk Elliott told us that he had heard that he's just complaining of back trouble. So I don't know about any official update this morning. But regardless, after a crash like that, Scott, we hope for the best, but we're glad that he is, I hate to say it, but alive and well.
No doubt.
What really helped him was when the car before Tanner that got to him kind of like hit the nose wing.
Yeah. And spun him around. Spun him
just enough to where it lined up kind of like the bottom of the car. And it's just, it would have been...
But he was complaining of back pain, is what somebody was saying, right?
Yeah.
And would that be from the impact from the car hitting him at the bottom, or would that be for him hitting the wall?
No, that's from the car hitting him on the bottom. You have to imagine, Scott, sitting in that race car in the seat and just like a dump truck hitting you. As we just saw, the impact was right, looked on the underside, and it looked right to be about where the engine sits, but... You get, you know, you're nearly sitting on the ground in those cars anyway, but to be able to get hit from the underside, no wonder his backward, and thank goodness it was the impact occurred where it did, and it didn't happen to the top of the cage.
Austin, how thick is the plate on the bottom of your car?
I believe it's like 1/8 inch aluminum.
Yeah,
It's just all that's under us is I know some
just
cars
a way to keep metal. Your feet up off the ground.
That's our floor pan, and then you know you got the frame under you. Then you got like two seat bars. But I know some chassis builders build in like a 1/4 inch plate that runs from the back seat bar to the front seat bar. That's right under the seat. So it just adds another deal of protection, but you know, that's just one chassis builder compared to
mostly
the other 10 that we have.
Most of them are just bare exposed frame from the firewall forward, right?
Yeah.
From the motor plate, I mean.
Might want to turn that down there for me.
Oh, did that thing go off?
It just beeped. Somebody doesn't know that you're on there.
Probably another notification that says we're rained out tonight.
Yeah. So that's kind of the big story for us here today. Austin Wheatley obviously is the biggest story. We hope that he's going to be okay. But today's Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour race at I-70 Speedway has been rained out today. Tomorrow they're going to pay $5,000 to win, $700 to start. Austin, I'm just going to say it. You can say it with me if you want. But there's not a lot of people disappointed that today was rained out, were there?
No,
Scotty, only person is Scotty Cook because he needs that. He's on the Roman noodle diet.
Yeah, Scotty, you get to show up and you know walk in the door. I gotta spend hundreds of dollars to get my door down. So you're on the fan side, which I was on your side all the time. I wish, but I'm not.
I'm not necessarily on the fan side. It's my bread and butter
the
side.
The revenue side.
Well, that too.
My bank account is totally not happy with the rent. But honestly, between us three and us four and the walls that we're sitting in, and I guess everyone watching, I believe it's more we did not get enough rain, nor will we get enough rain, I think, to cancel the event tonight. I think it's more so 90% the tire issue.
Is it still raining outside right now when you were out there?
It is. And I don't believe, you know me, I'm We Are guy. It had barely started sprinkling.
What time did you go to bed?
Do I dare say?
Yeah, 5:30.
Eh.
4?
Quarter to 5, I think.
Gee, Scotty.
Listen, this is Scotty Cook.
I don't know how you do it.
Hey, I traveled with him all those years, and Scotty never went to bed before 5 o'clock in the morning. Never.
You know what it
he
is?
He blames it on his mama.
Yeah, my stepmom, yeah.
Yeah.
My stepmom had a very, very punctual 10 p.m. bedtime until I was about 18 years old. And when I was old enough to where that bedtime didn't occur anymore, I became a rebel.
And a night owl.
And a vampire. But boy, when that sun starts coming up over that horizon, it's time to go sleepy.
Can you imagine staying up till 5 in the morning every night, Austin?
No, I can barely stay up till 3 o'clock on the way home from the racetrack or doing maintenance. I couldn't. Scotty, you're another animal. I don't know how you do it.
That's
he's been polite. He's been that way. He's been that way ever since I've known him.
It's a product of the stepmother's rule and millions and millions of miles on the road with you.
How many miles do you think we traveled up and down the road?
Well, I think you could maybe get a broad guesstimate by...
well over 500,000.
I would think so.
Yeah.
If you figure that we're doing, I don't know, 25,000 a year, is that conservative?
We have a lot of stories that we could tell about our touring up and down the road that we can't talk about on the air.
That's for sure. We left the Willamette Forest one night. And 36 hours straight shot later, we ended up at the Knoxville Raceway.
Scotty and I left Willamette.
In Oregon.
In Oregon.
No.
After the races. Oregon, and we told ourselves, look at this little road that goes through the Willamette Forest.
We even had time to stop and check for Bigfoots.
And we drove through that forest. And let me tell you something. We did not see a car for hours.
Nor did we see any Bigfeet or Yetis.
So Scotty and I, we're at the peak of the summit in the Willamette Forest, and we decide that we're going to get out and we're going to look for Bigfoot.
Good Lord.
And by the way, Scott Traylor's got a pretty good Bigfoot wood booger call.
Yeah.
He called. We heard no response. I do believe we even tried knocking a tree branch on a tree, which is
we did.
So what you're telling me, Scotty, is Scott can talk and call Bigfoots.
If he entered a Bigfoot calling contest, I would think that he would make the podium.
Good Lord.
Scotty does a pretty good version of that, too. You should have heard us out in the middle of this forest. It was like 4 in the morning, wasn't it?
It wasn't that late because we had just left the speedway.
Well, remember that road was so windy and how slow we had to go through there? And if you remember right, Tony Bruce said he was going to take his rig through there. And when we drove through there, we thought, oh, this is not good for Tony Bruce to go through here.
But it was cool, though, because it was
really neat.
It was so pitch black. And the reason we stopped to call Bigfoot and check for Bigfoot was because we both had to pee, and there wasn't civilization for miles, so we stopped right in the middle
right
of
the road.
And we peed out in the road in the wilderness, and we thought, man, it is so vast and so dark and so quiet. There's got to be a Bigfoot around here somewhere.
We didn't see one, though.
Didn't see one.
Hey, but that wasn't the only time we've looked for Bigfoot. We've looked for... When we drive down through any kind of forest, we're always looking
for sure.
Yeah,
or as Jeff Christensen used
bear
to, bear. And it didn't matter, we'd be rolling down the highway anywhere, didn't matter what the joke originated while we were out in the Pacific Northwest in Washington and Oregon, but anytime he'd see something out in a field or on a mountainside, didn't matter what it was, if it was dark or if he saw it moving, bear. That's
bear,
all we
bear.
One word from the back seat. Bear.
No deer.
You know, when Scotty and Jeff and I traveled together, man, those were some great times.
Lots of laughs.
Oh, my gosh.
So many laughs. I love that man so much.
The only problem was that me and Jeff are real big-time blues people, and we would just cram blues down Scotty's throat all day long, wouldn't we?
I mean, I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
You know me. I'm a classic country from the vault, and that's totally not your forte. So we just.
That's like how it is in here daily.
What's that?
I think all three of us
listen
me,
to different
you,
music.
Kirk, all had different music taste.
Yeah.
Not one song.
What do you think Austin listens to?
Justin Bieber.
Oh, God. No, no, you're close, Scotty.
He's rocking the Justin Bieber hair, though. I like the new dude.
He's
Justin.
Got it all. He's got some big hair.
Why are you blushing?
I'm just laughing. Just laughing. That's it.
All right.
No, we got Justin Bieber and Eminem at my house. So.
Wait, did he call him Justin Bieber?
Yeah, maybe. Bieber. I don't know.
I thought it was Justin Bieber.
I can't stop laughing back here. So.
Yeah, well, that's what happens.
We'll start slurring words here in a second.
That's what happens when you get Scotty Cook in the room.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're going to tell that story before the end of the show about Brody. We're going to talk about that.
We're going to break it down.
Angie Battle says, Scotty Cook in the house.
Hi, Oprah.
Oprah?
That's her nickname.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
You know what?
Are they in Kansas City yet? I wonder.
I believe they are. I'm pretty sure they are. I think they probably came up. I don't know for sure, but I think her and Terry came up last night. Man, on that note, I've got to say.
Angie, if you and Terry want to come over and watch some races tonight, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that would add to the giggles. Those two.
Pee in a pod. Both of them.
They just make my heart warm to see how they go about together. And I got to say that she is just the sweetest thing. And
she is a good
works
girl.
Her ever-living butt off. And I know that Terry Maddox puts a lot of faith in her. And it's really been a pleasure working alongside her this year. And she's a lot of fun, lots of laughs.
She's a good girl.
She knows me like the back of her hand. And she knows that if I'm coming at her with my goofball stuff, that all she can do is giggle about it. And that's just what she does.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, I learned a thing or two about you traveling up and down the road with you.
What's that?
We won't go into all of it.
Wait, now, don't leave it like that. You make the people think like, what?
No, it's good. It's good. We had a lot of good times. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about more what happened last night. Really, the two biggest races in the country right now is Husitz and Skagit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about which one means the most to the drivers. And we'll talk about that and more here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be back with more Scotty Cook and Austin O'Neill. I'm Scott Traylor. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor. There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway. Osage National Golf Resort.
39 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Scotty Cook in the house, hanging out with us here today. So let's go into detail here a little bit about these two races. One pays more than the other. Does that make it a bigger race? Because Husetts pays more than Skagit? Yes or no, Austin?
Yes.
It does?
I think so.
How many cars did they have last night? Do we know how many cars they had last night? At
up Northwest, I think they said 36. Am I right?
Skagit had 44 410 sprint cars, and I believe we had another 46 at
Husetts.
49 at Husetts.
49 at Husetts. 46?
44 at
Skagit. I didn't know that there were that many 410s left in the country to have that many at each show.
So let me ask you this. Is anybody surprised by the car count? Are you surprised by the car count up there with 410s, Scotty? Yes.
No. I'm not.
Honestly, I am.
I'm not.
I am. Because when they quit running 410s at Skagit and decided to start running 360s during Dirt Cup, they only had 8 410 sprint cars racing up there weekly.
Well, you have a lot of California guys that came up, and obviously 410 racing is alive and well in the state of California. Tim Kading, Neto, Allard.
I thought there'd be about 35 cars.
Who else did I take? Willie Croft. You know, all those California boys come up.
Willie didn't look too bad last night.
Willie got him a top five last night,
right.
I believe.
Yeah, he didn't look too bad at all.
I'm honestly, I think that the prestige of the prestige of that event, the Jim Raper Memorial 50th annual, 50 years of that event.
Right.
410s back for the first time. In, I don't know what, how many years were we up there with 360s? What, 10 years?
Yeah.
So, that place, you know, we were talking last night about that place, and there isn't another track in the country. I could think of a couple, but not many tracks in the country that have the atmosphere as
Dirt Cup
Gadget yeah. Speedway.
Yeah.
That racetrack, you know, the way it's nestled into that mountain, it sits back in turn two
in the forest,
and the sunset this time of year where it doesn't set until about feature time, all those trees.
The sun
crowd.
Really doesn't go down till about 10:30, 11 o'clock.
10:45, yeah.
Right, yeah.
But I think the prestige of that event, 50 years, the excitement that 410s are back, the crowd is a mainstay there. The buzz, right. The buzz that the crowd creates. I recall the three wide before we dropped the green last year's event. The crowd, just bat poop crazy. They're very avid in that area, particularly in the Pacific Northwest, about their sprint car racing. So bottom line, am I surprised that they've got a big car count for the Dirt Cup this year? No. I think it's just a big deal.
They're about 15 short of what we had with 360s up there. Yeah.
But, you know, on the flip side of that,
That's a reflection of the amount of money they're paying, though, right? Wouldn't you think that the reason that they have that good car count is because of the amount of money they're paying, Austin? Would you believe that?
I would have to think so. I mean,
right.
$50,000 is...
Is that what they're paying Dirt Cup?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's big.
Big money. They never paid that when we were up there. They paid $15,000 to win when we were there.
Yeah, I believe so. And you know, that's just a tale of two types of racing.
Rudine's doing a great job up there, though.
He is. And, again, on the flip side of that, which deal is bigger? I mean, you go to Husitz, which in and of itself, as Todd Quering came in a few years back and revamped that place, which was Husitz was one of those old rustic venues as well. And then
But Chuck Brenner was the guy that really improved Husitz. He's the one that spent all the money, guy that was in the loan business.
And then he decided
to get out of the racing business when South Dakota decided that they were going to limit how much they could charge interest. And he decided to close up all of his businesses in South Dakota and move away.
And then Todd came in.
Then Todd waited about, two, three years, maybe? Yeah. And decided to buy that track. Originally, Chuck wanted like $9 million for that racetrack. Or maybe it was $6 million. I don't know. $6-9 million. I don't know. But regardless, Todd beat him down and finally got him down to a realistic price. And
businessman.
He's a pretty savvy businessman.
So on the flip side of that, you know, 4 days, granted one of them a scheduled makeup rain out the first race. But, you know, I don't ever recall, let alone 3 days in a row at Husitz for on the World of Outlaw tour. And so at a place that has become one of the premier venues now. It always was a premier venue, even before it was revamped and reconstructed. And now that place is just a Taj Mahal. It broke my heart to see all the damage that occurred a few weeks back when the high winds blew through.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure how they've come along with...
They've done a pretty good job of fixing that place up.
Did they? Have you seen... It looked to me as though it just blew completely out a couple of those suites up there. Man, you talk about...
It blew the whole second floor off.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the roof was down in the infield.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that place, man, we were blessed to be there, Scott, and that place is so nice.
Right.
So very nice.
Nina says, hi, Scotty. Miss seeing you at Trax.
Well, how about we just say this segment brought to you by Ozark's Barge and Dock Service. She'd say, oh, stop.
Stop it.
Scotty. Ask Nina who she's going to vote for in 2024. It ain't going to be Brandon.
Hey, listen, we don't talk politics on this show.
Oh, that's right. We don't. I just broke the golden rule of mostly motorsports.
We don't talk about religion and motorsports on this show.
Well, let's go, Brandon. What do you want to talk about?
Well, we're talking about racing, bud. That's what we're talking
about. Look at Kirk.
Yeah.
He's so very giggling all over himself.
Yeah, he is.
See, as if he forgot that I was the biggest goofball in the world.
Right. Well, it only takes a few minutes to figure that out again. if you had a choice, Austin, and you had all the money in the world, which race would you go run? You'd be up at Husitz, wouldn't you?
Husitz.
Yeah.
Just because it's
It's what's that pay?
$100,000
$100,000 to win.
Oh, that's right. That's the big deal about the kiddo, the new sliced bread on the block, not being able to run for the $100,000 this weekend.
Ryan Timms?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Ryan Timms.
We had him on the show.
I watched, and I thought to myself, man, that kid's finally starting to come out of his shell a little bit.
Right.
You do an interview with him, it's like interviewing a squeaky little mouse because he barely talks.
You know, it's all about how you do the interview with the person.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
After all these years.
You got to pull it out of him, Scotty.
Right.
Right.
That is true.
Have you ever done that?
Oh, well, try interview some of them little farts at the shootout in the junior sprint division.
That is as tough as it gets.
That's when you earn your money conducting interviews, because some of them are one-word answers, and so you know me, I got to poke and prod and bring a little bit of it out of
them. Sometimes you got to talk for your guest.
Indeed you do.
You know that?
So on that note, Ryan Timms, wasn't too long ago that he was one of those kids. He's not very extroverted. He's not very boisterous. He's not very loud. And it's cool to watch the interview because he was very insightful and thoughtful and talkative.
All right, so let me ask a question. Buddy Kofoit took him 20 races to win his first World of Outlaw race. Will Ryan Timms do it sooner?
Oh.
Crickets.
Come on now. That's the question. That's the big question for everybody out there that's listening on the show right now. Will Ryan Timms win a World of Outlaw race in less than 20 races? Yes or no?
No.
I would like to say yes. But on that note, you have to believe that, granted, it's no surprise that Buddy pulled that off last night, but you also have to take into consideration that the World of Outlaws, they call it the greatest show on dirt because it is indeed.
It's the best.
The cream of the crop, the best of the best.
Right.
But
and that's no disrespect to any other series.
One thing in Ryan Timms' favor and played out in Buddy's favor as well. Right now in sprint car racing compared to even 15 years ago, 20 years ago.
All right.
The playing field is so much more level. There's
right.
so much more parity. There's so many more opportunities for so many different guys to win on any given night instead of Sammy, Steve, Doug. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, that's all you had.
Right.
And a bunch of other guys that were clawing for podiums.
You never know who's going to win nowadays.
Not today.
No.
And so that will be in Ryan Timms' favor. To your question, will he do it in 20 races? I want to say yes. I think that he can't. Can he? Yes. Will he? I think yes.
All right. So here
but
we
that's go. A really huge, tall feat.
All right. So Caleb says, I'll take the under.
Caleb Hart?
No, Harvey. Caleb Harvey. He's a regular listener of ours. And John O'Neill Jr. says, yes, absolutely.
You know that guy?
Tom Ward says, yes. Dylan says, who is the youngest World of Outlaw winner? Do we know that?
Let me look it up.
All right. Austin, he's fast with his thumbs.
Okay. Quick tips. Oh, it's not keyboard, it's thumbs.
Oh, no, he's all thumbs.
Oh, man, who would that have been?
Yeah, my TV went down today, so I'm on my phone.
All right. Oh, yeah. We're going to have to buy a new TV.
Maybe Giovanni Selzy.
You know what?
That
Sean just said, I think Selzy at the Grove.
National Open.
I think it's Giovanni.
Yeah.
Yep, he won it during the National Open a couple years ago.
Tammy says, I believe Gio Selzy won a World of Outlaw race at Williams Grove when he was 16 in the Indy Race Parts, number 71.
And you know, speaking how fast time flies, Scott, does it not feel like yesterday that Gary Selzy was taking us a... We spent an afternoon and a full day.
We spent several days there, if you remember right.
Well, we were
there for a couple days.
Right, but of those days that we were there, we spent a whole day
with Gary.
Gary.
Yeah.
And we topped it off that night. He took us all out to dinner, but we toured his work place where they make
beds.
Tool bed.
Truck beds.
Yeah, truck tool truck accessory beds for trucks. And within his work shop was the boys' race shop. And if you recall,
Brady
at that
Bacon
time,
was working on his car in the shop that day. Remember
that?
He was.
Yeah. He was. Yeah. And if you recall, the boys, Giovanni was a little fart. He was probably only about 11, 12.
Yeah.
And Dominic was maybe 17, 16.
17, yeah.
And if you recall, after the tour, we went up into Gary's office, and we sat in that office. I believe it was you, me, Gio,
what an office,
Gio,
by the way.
Dominic, I believe Brady,
yeah.
Grandpa Ted, Brady's grandpa, and Gary, with a million Wally trophies, helmets, suits everywhere. And we sat there for no less than 2 hours, and not many of us got a word in edgewise. Gary Selzy sat there and told us stories for a solid 2 hours, and wow.
You know what was really cool?
How cool was that?
I'll say this. Gary Selzy is maybe one of the coolest people I've ever met. Would you agree with that?
I wholeheartedly agree with that.
Yeah.
Most definitely in motorsports, but yeah. Even beyond that, he's such...
John Force is pretty close. I've got a chance to interact with John Force a few times, and he's really cool. But what was really cool about Gary when we were out there that week...
He was so hospitable.
We were racing at Placerville.
No, because I've never been to Placerville, and we wouldn't have been going to Placerville on that trip. So we were.
You never went to Placerville with us?
That was the year that we were at my top three favorite track of all time.
What was it?
Tulare, Thunderbolt.
Oh.
And Hanford Speedway.
Where were we headed? Why did we stay there that week?
Because we were at Tulare and Hanford, and Gary is just north of there in Fresno, San Jose.
Yeah.
About, 45 minutes?
But you know what was really cool about that trip? Was every morning when we'd wake up, Selzy would call us and say, "Boys, let's go eat lunch."
Yeah, yeah.
And he bought us a meal just about every day.
Yeah,
didn't he?
Dude, that was 10 years ago. That was maybe 11 years ago.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it was so fun.
Good guy.
We weren't going to Merced then?
Nope,
we weren't.
Nope, because my first trip to Merced and or Petaluma was
2 years ago when we went there, right?
When the COVID, the weekend that the COVID broke out.
Remember, I had to go to the hospital because I thought I was having a heart attack.
The bat flu. Maybe you got a case of the man-made bat flu.
No, I didn't have any of that. That's not what I had.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Yeah, I will always remember that weekend because I was supposed to that weekend be packing up all of my stuff and
Moving
it back to the Midwest from New Mexico.
Oh, that's right. If you remember right, I had that terrible case of heartburn. I thought I was having a heart attack. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And I spent all night in the hospital, didn't sleep a wink, then got out of the hospital that day, went straight to the racetrack and did a live broadcast, didn't
mm-hmm.
we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, for sure.
Yeah.
At Petaluma.
Yep.
You're a trooper, dude.
You know what? You know what I miss more than anything about the road right now is the people that we've met along the way.
No doubt. No doubt.
That's the number one thing that bothers me more than anything is all my friends that I've made. 'Cause
no doubt.
Scotty, we met a ton of people all over this country, right? And when you go into those towns, you expect to see those people. And not seeing those people kind of is a bummer, to be honest with you.
When people ask me, when you meet people for the first time and they ask you about what you do and you explain to them what you do.
Right.
My sentiments exactly. Above and beyond what we do, which is play,
mm-hmm.
work is play, the people. And it's hard to describe to anyone that does not understand the massive, massive amount of people around the country that you've met that have become friends beyond friends that are almost like extended family.
Oh, no doubt.
And
yeah.
The wealth of friends that we've gained on the road over the years, it's you can't put a value on that. I think that's the biggest beauty of everything that I do, we do. And I think, you know, anyone that's up and down the World of Outlaw Tour, the ASCS Tour, I think would concur. I think what we see on the racetrack, what motivates us to go miles and miles to each venue, that all speaks for itself and eventually becomes old hat to us.
Mm-hmm.
Spectacular to nobody that's ever seen it before, but old hat to us. But going to a new town and you continually gain new friends. And with the exposure that you, Kirk, myself have received over the years, it's happened to us time and again.
Oh, many times.
Standing in a subway, in line, out in the middle of California. Hey, are you racing boys?
Right.
Well, we watch you guys all the time.
And we didn't even have, at that time, nope. If you remember right, we didn't even have a car that was lettered up. Mm-mm. At that time. We were in the Equinox.
We also didn't have a car lettered up at the time when we got pulled through the security checkpoint at Hoover Dam. And the state park guy said, hey, you're racing boys.
He did.
You're racing boys. I watch you. Out in the middle of Nevada.
Scotty and I decided we're going to go down to Hoover Dam. And we're driving down to Hoover Dam. And all of a sudden, they got a checkpoint there to make sure nobody has any bombs.
And we didn't have a bomb.
We didn't have a bomb.
No.
But we had a carload of broadcasting gear and our suitcases and everything. It was full in the back,
and
right?
And he sure enough did unload every tape.
And when we pulled up, the cop, I thought he said to keep going, and that's not what he said.
He said to.
He said stop, and he made us pull over, and next thing you know, Scotty has to stay in the front seat. They get me out, and I start unloading the stuff out of the back of the car so they can check it to make sure we don't have any bombs or anything like that. And another security guard walked up. He saw on one of our tubs, it said Racing Boys on it, and he looked at that guy. He goes, hey, this is the Racing Boys. They're okay. Let them go.
And at that time, you had Racing Boy on the license plate of the Equinox as well.
It said RCNBOY. B-O-Y.
Yes, sir.
Racing Boy.
Mm-hmm. There's a video of that on YouTube.
What's that?
YouTube going to the dam? There's a video of that on YouTube on the Racing Boys.
There is. Because Scotty and I went, if you remember right, we went down to the dam and we did a little Facebook thing. Scott and Scotty.
Scott and Scotty Road Show.
Yeah.
There's probably a dozen of those episodes on YouTube. You just got to go to the bottom of our channel and find
them. You remember the first one we ever did, Scotty?
No way.
You got to see it. You have to remember, we were out in front of the hotel. We were at the PRI show, and there was a guy standing out in front of the hotel, and we cut up on him and made fun of him. You don't remember that?
That's on there too.
Right.
That's one of the videos.
That's the first one.
Yes, it is.
It's the very first one.
I need to go back and watch some of those.
Right.
That's so crazy because we did a lot of them. And little did we know when we started doing them how many people would watch and take note, because every time we'd go to the track next week, somebody'd be like, hey, I saw this week. I saw your Scotty Roadshow this week. It was hilarious. Yes,
hey,
sir.
Hey, how about our boy Mike Marler picking up the win at Lernerville last night? Huh? What'd you think about that, Austin? Were you happy for him?
I mean, I guess you have to be. He's most reliable.
It's only $6,000, though. It's not like the $50,000 and the $25,000 that he's won.
I mean, yeah, it's probably one of his first paydays this year, but at least he got paid.
He did. That's for sure. Yeah. So, Mike Muller beat Brandon Overton and Earl Pearson Jr. Scotty was all about Earl last night. You were calling him Pearson Earl Jr.
Earl, Donnie, Pearson, Moran, Bloomquist,
right.
Jr. I
was really happy for Mike Muller, though. I'm a big fan of Mike Muller, if anybody knows that.
Yeah, I'm very glad.
Sheet metal. You don't follow this sheet metal. He doesn't really
I'm
care.
Guilty.
On this show, we talk about everything.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, if you're in your position and you have a show such as this, you have to cover everything. You can't slight anything, and that would require you to pay attention to such. But the only thing that I pay attention to pertaining to sheet metal outside of my friends locally, regionally,
right,
that race in central Missouri is I keep up with Nick Hoffman, who's absolutely on fire.
He won
picked
last
up his
night,
seventh
yeah.
in a row on the Hell Tour last night.
Yeah.
And I keep up with little gigolo G. Gordy Gundaker as well.
I think you mean the Hoffman Tour.
Right.
Yeah.
What makes him
so good,
so dominant that the rest of the guys can't touch him, let alone 7 for 7 this year? I believe last year he went 20 for 21 or maybe 21 for 21.
They're pretty close to that.
That's stupid.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, I mean, he builds his own cars. He's in middle North Carolina, down there in all the, you know, good racing technology country. And then he tries stuff. He never stops trying anything.
Case in point, last night, Scott, I got here and I sat down and I looked at that screen. You said, oh, that's the Hell Tour. And I said, Nick Hoffman, 7 for 7. And then I looked up at the screen and they had just dropped the green flag. And I'm looking at the ticker coming by.
And he won.
And he's back in 9th place. And I'm like, oh, he's not going to win this one tonight. And I think that thing went flag to flag. And we looked up 4 or 5 minutes later and he's in victory lane. I was like, what in the hey? Crazy.
Mm.
Man's got mad talent and right. a super nice guy and a very well-spoken, knowledgeable commentator when he's in the booth.
Right.
He joined us at the Chili Bowl on the broadcast last year.
Steve's checking in from Anaheim, California.
Case in point, you said they're listening from all over. Huge out on the East Coast in California. That's so cool. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, well, we've got a ton of listeners from Ohio, PA, New Jersey, New York, in that area.
Steve, can you just package up the...
But our number one state, our number... This is good, Steve, that you chimed in. Our number one state that listens to our show is California.
We haven't checked that in a while.
I want to see.
Let me double check that.
I want to see Steve could package up the Tulare Thunder Bowl and UPS it here to the Midwest just so I can enjoy it for one weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, that place is so awesome. Do you recall? I don't know if you
that
do.
That was the first race that Brian Hobart ever called for the for the ASCS National Tour.
And in fact, that was the weekend that Kyle Larson subbed for Jason Johnson and won his first ASC, first 360 sprint
car
race.
They put the 41 on his car.
They did.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure you don't recall this, but we were there setting up the day prior.
Like we always do.
Like we always do. And we were walking around with the promoter, Scott, and I recall making mentioned to the promoter, I was like, man, you've got quite a few billboards around here that are blasted through and missing. You know, remember what he told me? Well, ain't no sense replacing them. They go through them every weekend.
Right, every week they fly through them.
but
you know, they need to put a fence up around
them.
Well,
I think
they
changed it.
Jason Johnson hitting a billboard.
Right.
Not good.
I think they put like boilerplate or something all the way around that place now.
Right. Chuck's checking in from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Dave's checking in from Independence, Missouri.
Right down the road.
Right down the road. So appreciate that.
Dave, meet us at the Corner Cafe.
Dave Tyson. You know Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah, good man.
Yeah, Dave, good people.
Good guy.
Mizzou Tiger fan, I do believe.
I don't know about that.
Yep. If I'm not mistaken, we crossed paths in Columbia at a Mizzou football game. I could be wrong.
Hey,
I think it was him, though.
Let's take our final break real quick. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up the show. Scotty and I, we're going to talk about Brody.
I feel like we really haven't talked about anything other than Yaya.
Racing so Yaya?
Pretty much.
Oh, well, that's all right.
I hope these folks are entertained.
Listen, that's what this show's about. It's called Mostly Motorsports, Scotty, because we don't always talk about motorsports.
It's right up my alley.
Yeah, perfect. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back. More of Mostly Motorsports. Again, it's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back. It's Mostly Motorsports with producer Austin O'Neill. Scotty Cook hanging out with us today in the studio. It's always a pleasure to hang out with him after all of our years of traveling up and down the road. We got a few stories we might wrap up the show with. But before we do that, we're going to let Scotty Cook do some live read for us right here.
How about that?
Come on, man.
I learned to read in the second grade.
Yeah.
And we were talking just a few moments ago about some of the coolest, kindest people that we have met.
Bob Baker, one of the best.
Gary Lee Meyer, the kindest man that ever drove a sprint car, I've always said. But one of the kindest men in all of sprint car racing is Kansas City's very own Bob Baker. And he's left great, such man. A legacy in this sport long before he ever took over at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. So on that note,
you know, you ad-libbed that, Scotty. You just kind of just picked little pieces out of that.
Come on now.
Come on. Go ahead.
We'll let you know that at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame right now, you know that you can walk in there anytime and you never know what you're going to see in the front window. So, on that note, the track tribute to the Ascot Speedway.
Ascot Park.
Ascot Park in Gardena, California.
Correct.
That will live in infamy forever. The exhibit's going on inside the museum through October 1st. You can see seven of the open-wheel race cars that race the historic Ascot Park in Gardena, California. And additional videos and drivers, uniforms, helmets, memorabilia from Ascot will also be on display. And that's pretty cool, you know, such that the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame, representative of not exclusively everything that goes on in the state of Iowa, is from all over the United States. And we know that there's an influx of Californians, Australians. Right. So a lot of people appreciate being able to see that during the Nationals. And also let you know that the 2022 IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette will be drawn for on Saturday, August the 13th, during the Knoxville Nationals. They've been doing that for a long time, and I think it's one of the coolest fundraisers that
Corvette, Scotty, is one of 1,000. I saw one in the paper the other day for sale for $150,000. That's an IMSA. That is a road racing Corvette. That's I'm going to buy at least 25 tickets for that.
Well, if that entices you, you can check them out at CorvetteC8RContest.com. You've got a chance to win the one of 1,000 limited product Corvettes. And so I just think that's the coolest thing in the world that Bob does. And it's such a great fundraiser. And in addition to that, I believe they're also giving away $25,000 in addition to that Corvette raffle. So
to help pay the taxes.
Help support the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Once again, check them out at CorvetteC8RContest.com. And also, speaking of giveaways, speaking of fundraisers and raffles, for years on end, they've also raffled the Sprint Car for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. And so you can check that out as well. This year's edition features a 2022 XXX chassis powered by a Moyle racing engine. It'd be a 410, and it'll be given away this year on December the 16th. Visit them at SprintCarRaffle.com. Once again, SprintCarRaffle.com for your chance to win the race ready 410 Sprint Car. Help support Bob Baker and all that he does at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Give him a call, area code 641-842-6176 to order by phone. If you've never been to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum,
it's time to go.
You've got to put it on the bucket list.
The Ascot tribute is first class.
That's got to be nails. So, Bob Baker.
You never went to Ascot, did you?
Never got to see it, man.
I went there.
It's one of my only regrets in open wheel sprint car racing that I never got
Scotty,
to see.
Scotty, remember the time we went to Manzanita?
I do. It was
the week after they closed, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish that we could find that video because that was the day that we did a...
we walked through the whole place.
Well, we did a road show there.
We did.
Yeah.
And I don't know where that tape is at, but I wish I had it.
You know, I don't even dare tell the story.
About what?
My one and only trip to...
Manzanita?
Yeah.
For a race?
Yeah.
Were you with Jesse?
Nope. By the way, he won the last race.
I know he did.
And he called it out. He said he was going to do it.
Yeah, because he was in Eldora, wasn't he? And
he
it got rained
scheduled
out.
Scheduled to go to Eldora, and I talked to him on a Wednesday night before he was about to bolt out to Eldora, and he told me, I've already got a plane ticket for Manzanita if we rain out, and I'm going to go win the last race there. And I'll be damned if he didn't go do it. He sure did. Yeah.
All right, so before we get out of here, Scotty, I want to go through the whole Brody Hey, oh, by the way.
Oh, we, good Lord.
Scotty, give me a little tip during the commercial break, and we got the TV working.
We had three minds working on that thing for about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And Scotty Cook just sits down and looks at it.
Did you unplug the TV and plug it back in? And I said, no, I didn't do that. And sure enough, that fixed it.
System reboot.
You just saved me and Kirk probably about $700 today.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful. You know, I probably still owe you ten times that.
My next TV, no, you don't owe us anything, bud. We're all good. You know, if I was to buy another TV, I would go up and buy me one of those 85-inchers.
You probably still will before long.
Oh, as soon as my TV goes out upstairs, I've had that TV for 10 or 12 years.
Still a pretty good one.
It's a really good TV, but when that thing goes out, I'm getting me the biggest TV they make.
Get after it, man.
And I'm going to hang it on the wall, and it's going to look like a theater. I can't wait.
It already looks like a theater down here. Kudos to you for this setup, man. This is really, this is Man Cave Racer Deluxe.
It is, isn't it?
I think you need to have a big party down here.
Well, let's do it. Let's have one tonight. If any of the National Tour guys are in town, let's have a party tonight.
Let's do it. I don't drink much anymore. I can't remember the last time I drank, but let's do it. Austin. Get on the horn and round him
up. Austin isn't old enough to drink. He just turned 19.
Well, he can join me. He don't have to drink. He can socialize.
Nah, I'll probably be gone tonight, so.
Hold on. Just so you know, Austin has never had a drink in his life.
That's crazy.
Isn't that right, Austin?
Wow. That's true.
Making his daddy proud.
Listen, I couldn't have a better co-host on the show.
I could sit here and talk for 5 minutes about what a fine boy he is. And even after I got done doing it, his head wouldn't swell up. And so all I can say is, Mr. O'Neill, you raised a fine, fine boy.
He did a great job.
He's even rocking the hell out of that Justin Bieber haircut.
I know. Scotty. He got it all spiked up.
Or no, he called it Justin Beaver.
Beaver.
it's the Beaver cut.
All right, Scotty. So let's talk about the greatest, maybe the best story that we have of all time. When we were out in the Pacific Northwest, we were up Mount Vernon, Washington, and you and I and Deidre were sitting in the Racing Boys truck.
We were on our way to Deception Pass, which is a scenic, tourist, beautiful place up in the Pacific Northwest.
Beautiful place.
We agreed to rendezvous with Matt and Ashley.
We were waiting at a gas station to meet them.
We stopped at a Shell station, and we were sitting there waiting on Matt and Ashley Ward to meet us. And while we were sitting there waiting...
you needed a paper towel.
Well, you know, in your glove box for our travels, we always had napkins. We always had paper towels in the event of... blowing your nose or, you know, clumsy me spill here or there. So I noticed that we were out of
napkins
in the glove box. So look, Scott. Oh, my gosh. The scene of the crime.
Those are the pumps.
Oh, my gosh. If you look real close in that window, you can see the biggest tool you've ever seen as a gas station attendant.
There's no way I just found that.
So
is that it?
That's it. So the Racing Boy, pan over to the left there, Austin. Oh, my God. We can totally break this down. So over to the left by those shrubs.
We were sitting in my truck.
That's where we were parked, right there, up along those shrubs. So I noticed no paper towels in the glove box. So I got out of the truck, and I walked to that first pump, number 8. And that little thing, that little paper towel dispenser right there, I pulled out. I was going to get about 4 or 5, but I no sooner got the second one pulled out. And here comes Brody out the door. And Brody said, hey, you can't just steal those paper towels. And immediately, I was so...
enraged.
Well, no. Before I become mad, I was in disbelief. I was like, there is no way in hell that this dude just walked outside...
and told me not to steal.
And told me that I can't steal paper towels. First of all, I never thought that pulling a paper towel out of a dispenser was stealing anything.
Right.
And so to that, once that registered in my brain, I'm not What the hell are you talking
first
about?
First of all, what you have to understand is there's a lot of homeless people that live in this area, right?
So Brody, if I could describe Brody, he's kind of, if you watch if you watch Family Guy and you know about Chris Griffin, Peter Griffin's son, Dad, Brody reminds me of a Chris Griffin, maybe a little bit fatter and a little bit more of a, I can't say that word, but once it hit me that he said, you can't steal, I was like, what in the hell are you talking about?
We cuss a little bit on here once in a while.
So. Well, I'm it's all good.
All right.
So I looked at him, well, I got mad, and I just started, I told Brody.
You went off on him.
I told him to F off and to go. Yeah, I can't say it, but I got angry. I got mad because I
madder than I've ever seen Scotty. Madder than any time that he's been mad at me. He's been mad at me several times over the years. This was the maddest I'd ever seen Scotty.
So
what did I do? I got out of the
truck.
Well,
I think that I just took such offense that he really did. You really did not try to do that to me, and so I chewed his ass real, real good. All up in his.
Right.
I left that dispenser. I walked up to the corner of the building and I got square up in his ass. And then, and after I chewed and was in his ear for a good minute and a half, then you decided to get out.
And we tag teamed him.
And right there at that pump eight, by that time, the verbal accosting had ventriculated over to pump eight. And then you and I were in each ear. We were verbally
abusing him.
We were destroying Brody. I'm sure his eardrums are not in good shape. So that's where it was about after 2 minutes good ass chewing in stereo.
All of a sudden the cops show up.
No. Oh. Before the cops come up, I'm glad you still got this picture up here, son. Because right between pump 7856, off to your right, right where that little red car sits second in line at the light there.
We ate at that Mexican restaurant a time or
two. Here comes Matt and Ashley. And Matt, not knowing what was going on in his rental car, he pulled up being silly. You remember he locked up his brakes at the pump.
Right.
Right in the middle of us chewing his ass. So Brody, he's like, oh my God. They've called in the thugs, and this right. shit's getting ready to get real.
Right.
So Matt pulled up, and he was like, what in the world is going on? So then you can't steal paper towels. You're not even – well, at that time, you was like, well, I better get some gas.
So I pulled my truck around, put $60 worth of gas in.
And so then after you got the fuel pumped, the cops rolled in. And if you recall, after the cop, you told me to go to the truck.
I told Scotty, I said, Scotty, get in the truck.
Yeah, because I was pissed and I might have
went to jail that day.
Maybe, I don't think so, because the cops were cool.
They were pretty cool to us, right?
So if you recall, Scott, while the cops were talking to you, if you recall, the homeless transient...
Made me get my ID out and all that stuff.
The homeless guy came up.
And he started chewing on Brody.
No, he says...
What did he say to him?
He asked Ashley.
Oh, if he could leaned, get in the car
yeah,
with
he
them.
Leaned, he le-
I forgot about that.
He leaned in the window and said...
Can I ride with you guys?
No, he said, hey, I got warrants. Do you care if I get in the car with you? She's like, hell no, I got a child in here. You're not getting in my car.
Little Max was in there.
So if that wasn't enough, after everything ensued and everything calmed down, Brody went back inside and went back inside being a tool.
And I kept telling him, You're gonna lose your job.
You're
gonna lose your job. I'm gonna call your I'm gonna call your manager, and I'm gonna call Shell, and you're gonna lose your job.
But the funniest thing of all, I believe, is something that I didn't see, and I don't know to this day if you know about, was while the cops were talking to you, and I'm sitting in the truck. Max, in the back seat of the rental car, had spilled his soda or something. And Ashley asked the cop
for a paper towel.
And he says, and she said that the cop looked at her and he said, "You're kidding, right?" She's like, no, I got a mess in my back seat. And the cop just laughed. And he's like, "Well, actually, yeah, I think I have some baby wipes." So, oh, man, what a
but
deal.
I'd already bought $60 worth of gas at that point.
So, I was very pissed off that day. You don't ever see me get angry.
No,
and I
not
was
not like that.
I was angry. How dare that tool that 90% lives in his mama's basement and has never had a girlfriend, looks like Chris Griffin, tell me that I can't have a paper towel.
And then every day we were there for another week. And every day I drove by, Brody would be standing out in front of there smoking a cigarette, and I'd honk at him.
I'm getting angry just reliving it.
Do we think he still works there?
We speculated that.
Yeah,
I don't know, man.
You know, it's worth a phone call up there to see if
he's
still around.
I think it is, and I bet you still have that number.
I got that manager's number.
God, I'd love to know. I think we need to. No, I don't.
Call a year later and get him fired.
To be honest with you, as bad as he is with people, there's no way that man still works there.
You think?
He's just living in his mom's basement wishing that he had a girlfriend.
Our buddy Ben, one of our loyal listeners, is checking in from Australia right now.
Hey, good day.
Good day, mate.
How do they say good night? It's nighttime down there.
Yeah.
Good night.
He's a good man.
Good day.
Yeah, good guy.
Hey, out of left field, but I want to send out a shout out and a great job to the boys up in the Pacific Northwest last night. They did a really good job in the booth.
Oh, yeah. Blake.
Caleb and Blake.
Caleb and Blake did a really good job.
Yeah, really good boys, talented boys.
Yeah. Are you having fun out on the tour this year?
Well, you and I talked last night, and things are so, my workflow is so different now.
Yeah, it's not the same as when we did it.
I went from doing about 30 interviews a night to, heat winners and podium finishers and red flags.
So you don't have me chewing in your ear all the time.
I don't have you in my ass from the start of the race to the end of the race.
Yeah, that's a blessing.
Cattle prod.
Always poking at you, wasn't I?
You know, sometimes I need a little motivation.
Right.
You know that, right?
Right.
I miss the hell out of having you. And I can speak for others as well. There are a lot of people that miss having you out there. And yes, albeit the atmosphere is so much different, I am having a good time. I love Terry Maddox to death. I love Angie Battles and Christy McDougal. And Chris Dye, and Roy Wagner's doing some flagging. But you and I, for years, have known Terry since he was a kid.
Yeah, for sure.
And no sooner than he got feet first into
proud
everything.
Proud of him, man. Really proud of him.
I from the very beginning, I've never had anything less than complete faith in him. And for him to be juggling everything with his plate as full as it is,
he's taking on a load.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And if there's anything that I can help to do is, on occasion, I like to intervene a little wisdom and remind him that sometimes it's okay to step back and
take a
breath,
deep breath
before you hit that meltdown zone. Yeah. And he gets a little wound up, but he's so very assertive. And he's so very good at what he does as race control. And
no doubt.
I'm like you. I'm very proud of him. I love him, and I'm having a great time with him out there this year, for sure.
You know what I was thinking last night, Scotty? Do you see what the World of Outlaws do? They have Dave Reif in the studio.
I think that would be awesome that if we could do that. I think it would be really cool, but I don't know.
Wouldn't it be cool if we could do that right here in this studio? Like when there's some downtime with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour, they throw it back to the studio, and we could do a show and kind of fill the gap a little bit. And just do it right here in this right here.
If there's anything lacking, and dare I say,
yeah,
I think there's a lot of room for improvement to cater to the viewer for the ASCS.
Dirt on Dirt does it, right? Yeah. And so does the World of Outlaws. Why couldn't the Lucasoil ASCS National Sprint Car do the same thing? We could just do it right here in this studio every on the weekends.
You're onto something.
Don't you think that would be a good idea, Austin?
We got all the equipment here.
Right.
I mean,
how hard would it be?
You know, it's so different for me anymore because for the last 10 years, all of my work has been broadcast. You and I back
right.
and forth.
Yeah.
My back and forth now is with Brian Hulbert over the house.
Right.
And so
it's a little different.
So I have absolutely no communication with the production. I just happen to be captured on their camera. So I haven't actually watched, but knowing what they're bringing, I just think that there's a lot of room for improvement.
Yeah. Well, you know, I maybe we can talk Terry into that. Maybe not this year, but maybe next year we could do that.
I think
that maybe we could do a throw it back to the studio and kind of do a take on what has taken place during the night, what's going on, where people are at or in the points. Talk a little bit about what's happening, transpiring that night at the races. I think it'd be pretty cool.
It's just an added element and a little bit of cream on top, icing on the cake for a fan that sits and watches, and it helps to kill your what was your worst nightmare? Dead air.
You know, it's a pet peeve of mine.
I know it is. So yeah,
there's
it helps
nothing
eliminate.
Worse than dead air in a broadcast to me. I'll tell you, Blake Anderson does such a good job of filling. Caleb Hart does a really good job of filling.
I think that even if you have a moment where you need to pause, I just think that it's good just to fill it with music, I think, you know, or something, you know.
Well, why not just throw it back to the Racing Boys studio and let us fill for a little bit?
Yeah. I think that you know, it would have to bring together a supporter or a sponsor or two, but fortunately we've made some pretty good contacts in those departments as well.
Yeah.
Some really good supporters
yeah.
along the way that I think would be open to it. And honestly, knowing Terry as I know him, it's probably something that he would be open to as well. I think it could be done.
I think it could be too.
It would have to be coordinated through, I guess, the other party.
The only problem is
that does the broadcast.
Austin races on the weekends. That's the biggest problem. You know, I don't know if I've told you this, Scotty, but Austin's the future of Racing Boys.
With his Justin Bieber haircut?
Yeah. Listen, like I've said, I said it many times to Fuzzy, God rest her soul. I said it many times to Fuzzy. If you guys are going to find somebody to take over the ASCS National Sprint Car Tour, ASCS, it needs to be a young person.
Well, they did that.
There's no future in us old farts, right? You need to get somebody that is young that can do it for another 20 years. You don't want somebody to come in that can take it over and only run it for 4 or 5 years, and then they want to retire.
On that,
you need to get somebody that's like 19 years old that can do it for another 20 years.
There you have it. Be ready to receive the torch, son.
He already knows.
Scott, on that note, Paw Emmett is doing very well.
Yeah,
he's getting a place in golf.
I haven't talked to Emmett in a while.
The next generation of Han has gotten his suit and his race car. Young Carson Brazil, which is Tommy Han's grandson.
Yeah,
Blake's nephew.
Did it get him a junior sprint?
Last year at the shootout, they had it delivered to the Expo Center and. Carson this past weekend just wrapped up his third or fourth practice hot lap session.
How'd
this
he
weekend
right.
he was out at
he's a good kid, man.
Port. He's very quiet. He's got a lot of Blake in him.
He's going to be a lady killer.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. He's going to have his way with
Such
the women when he gets older.
And I keep waiting. You know me with kids. I'm always poking and prodding and bringing out what I can out of them. Carson is such a quiet young man.
Yeah.
But sweet as can be. And I think once he learns the gas pedal, if it's inevitable that it's in his genes that he's going to be good.
Blake's kind of a quiet guy.
Blake's very quiet.
Right.
Very, very quiet.
And he stands on the gas.
Mm-hmm.
I felt terrible for him that he hit the Uke tire the other night.
Well, he was. I ran up to the car right after
he didn't want to talk.
Oh, no, I wasn't trying to talk to him because it was only a caution flag. All we had to do was get him a hook because he had lost a stop when he hit
it. Oh, no, I saw you. You looked at his front end to make sure it was still intact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that I didn't realize that the stop was gone.
Yeah.
But while I was, before he asked me what it looked like, he was absolutely coming apart, having a fit. He was very pissed off at himself. And you don't, like me, you never, when did you ever see Blake mad?
Very rarely.
No.
Very rarely.
He was very upset at himself. So.
Good kid, man.
Can't say enough about him or that entire family. Matt Ward, Matt and Ashley, Blake, just all of them. Dalton Siegler, Tommy Hahn.
I miss every one of them.
Brandon, Brandon and I, like you. It just
you know, Brandon and me have a special relationship.
Yeah, he's just a good boy.
You know, we talk all the time. We still communicate back and forth. I call him; he calls me. If we need to just kind of air out something,
beyond my relationship and appreciation that I have with you and Kirk, I think that one of the biggest blessings in my life is my relationship, like you as well, that I've forged over the years with the Hahn family. Not one person in that family, all the way including Donna, even Fuzz, as funny as she was, every single one of them, like you, they just treated us.
I loved Fuzzy.
They treated us like family. And in due time, now I feel like family to that family.
I had many a deep conversations with Fuzzy.
Indeed.
Many.
She was such a funny lady that it took forever for her to drop her guard. If you were just getting to know, she was a very standoffish woman. And boy, you did not want to cross that woman, because if you got on her bad side,
it's over.
There aren't any second chances. You're done.
Well, listen, such a you sweet know what lady, was though. So funny is
bless your
I
heart.
Started in 2009 on the national tour, and that was the year my mom died. And Fuzzy, as crazy as it might sound, was the only person that kind of filled the role of my mom, to be honest with you. Because Fuzzy, if she had a problem with something I was doing, she'd come and tell me. Or if she told me that I was screwing up somewhere, she'd come and tell me.
Without a bite of a tongue at all.
And just like my mom.
Indeed.
My mom was the same way. My mom would chew my ass out if I did something wrong. I can't tell you how many times I'd come home from doing the Saturday morning show, and my mom said, I had to turn you off today. I said, why, Mom? Because you were being too mean to Kirk.
Her motherly disposition always seemed to keep you in line.
Yeah.
You knew that you didn't. You knew that you needed to execute.
I needed that person in my life, to be honest with you.
For sure.
Fuzzy was that person to me that would always treat me like one of her own. If I had it coming, I got it.
The coolest thing
and
about
she'd light me up in a heartbeat.
Coolest thing about that woman was the love, the deep, deep love that you saw that her and Emmett had for each other.
Crazy.
I mean, just mad. At the age that they are now, and we just lost her 1 year ago. No, not even a year ago. It was last October.
Yeah.
When you saw them together, it was as though they were teenagers.
A match made in heaven.
Yeah. They loved each other so much.
No doubt.
But Paw Emmett's doing great right now.
Yeah. Well, they mean everything to me. And listen, I wouldn't have what I have today if it wasn't for Emmett, to be honest with you.
I think I could say likewise, which I don't have a pot to piss in, but I sure have a wealth of friends and travels.
Hey,
and
Scotty, you got a lot more than when you first started traveling with me.
Right?
Huh?
I mean, maybe a little bit more.
Well, you were kind of couch to couch at the time, but now you got your own place. How many years you been living in that place?
Just a product of being, Oh, I've been in my place. I moved back from New Mexico in 20, 20, late fall of 2020. I've been there 2 years.
Yeah.
But then the place in Columbia, I was there for 10 years.
Yeah.
Funny, I drove by that place last night on the way here, and it was the funniest feeling.
Really?
Yeah.
Right by the old skating rink.
Yep.
Yeah, no doubt.
The neighborhood has gone to hell.
Well,
it was getting there while I was living there.
It's like that everywhere. Scotty, thanks so much for coming in and hanging out with us, man. You want to do it again someday?
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank Kirk for offering up his seat today. And good to see young Austin O'Neill. What happened to the phone calls today?
We just got to talking.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Always good,
and,
though.
And rarely do we go an hour and a half.
Oh, my gosh. We went an hour and a half. I thought we were at the 59-minute mark.
No.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Goodness.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the show today. We sure appreciate it. It's always great to have Scotty hang out with us. The stories that we have and the stories that we can't tell you are... The stories that we can't tell you are even better than the stories that we have.
Don't make it sound that bad. We weren't breaking the law.
We might have a couple times.
No, no, we did not. There weren't prostitutes. There wasn't booze flying out the window.
Can you fill up a Quick Trip bag with puke?
Apparently I can. After about 13 fireball shots underneath turn 2 at the Phoenix International Raceway, now turn 4.
Right. I witnessed it firsthand. And what was so funny about it was that I was eating the taquito, and Scotty goes, "Oh, my God, that smells terrible. Eat it. Eat it." And I was laughing so hard, I couldn't eat the taquito. Next thing you know, Scotty Cook's puking in a Quick Trip bag. And you filled that thing almost all the way up.
And would you know that thing didn't have a pinhole
in it? It didn't have a pinhole in it, did it?
As my old buddy Big O would say, didn't drop a speck.
Didn't drop a speck. All right, buddy. Thank you so much for being with
us today.
God
bless y'all. Love y'all.
All right. So there you have it. Mostly Motorsports. Again, it's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Track Talk. Saturday mornings. Kirk and I have been doing that show for 22 years. We hope that you'll join us tomorrow morning. Again, on Sports Radio 810 WHB, right here on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and RacingBoys.com. For Austin O'Neill, for Kirk Elliott, for Scotty Cook, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock Central Time on Track Talk.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go,
going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.